Is there really anything as an such as an amateur athlete anymore? I mean, the Olympians all get paid. College athletes now, at least at a certain level, are getting paid, and there's talk about giving more money to athletes who may or may not be making any money for a university, and at what level should they be paid, and is it fair to pay some and not others? These are really difficult conversations, and I think is kind of the reason why the waters are so muddy and the future is so unclear. Text messages are coming in on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. One person says, all these changes with NIL are crazy and out of control. Another says, I don't think college athletes should be paid at all. That's a difficult conversation, though, because the universities are making stupid money off of these college athletes' talents, abilities, and performances. The networks are making crazy money off of these college athletes. So many products and retailers are making money off of these college athletes. And so I get the argument that they should get some of that revenue. That if it's them playing the games and the money that everybody else is making, why shouldn't they get some of that money? Especially since you consider the vast majority of college athletes are not going to play professionally in any sport. It's only a few when you get down to it. Now, it says, let's talk about how the NFL and others should require a degree or an exhaustion of eligibility. Student athletes, they write, graduate to go to the NFL. You know, that's, I've not heard anyone express real concern about that, and it's kind of weird how the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, they all have different eligibility rules in terms of how much time a athlete has to stay in college before they can go play pro. And I think those are conversations that are absolutely worth and should having and should be had. But at the same time, if you're talking, I mean, these are all talking about massive overhauls of the traditional system, but the emphasis, at least in many of the top college programs, has not been on actually having students earning degrees. Sometimes it happens. Most times when you're talking about the athletes that are going on to play professional sports, there's not an emphasis on making sure they earn a degree. It's making sure that they help the team win first and foremost and at least meet those minimum eligibility requirements. But graduating, earning a degree, has never been one of those eligibility requirements. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Tommy Tucker. We'll continue this conversation. Also getting a lot of great texts about why women in the United States are having fewer children than ever. But first, we have to welcome in Associate Professor in Media Law at LSU, William Maury. Professor, thank you for joining us here on WWL.
Good morning.
We wanted to talk to you because you are one who has your finger on the pulse of what's going on with media conglomerations and growth and maybe reduction of the total number of media outlets. And after what we saw last week with the FCC approving Skydance and Paramount becoming one company, kind of curious on, you know, is this the beginning of more massive mergers, or are we getting to a point of stabilization where we've got about as many big companies controlling the media as we're going to have?
Oh, I'm sure you can always have fewer companies and more massive operations. I don't know. It's hard to predict right now. I suspect that we'll know in the next couple of years if this is finally kind of reaching its bottom, but I suspect we have more to come in terms of mergers and acquisitions and mega companies. A lot depends, I think, on what the FCC sees itself doing, maybe intervening or not intervening. Sometimes they do, and you have kind of a moment of stability and forced harmony, I guess you could call it. And other times they are hands off and they say, you guys do what you're going to do. But either way, we have fewer choices as consumers, which is not good. It's good to have more options, I think, as American media consumers.
If we look at the history of media, we always know there were three huge television networks in the pre-cable days that then went from three to four-ish Then we saw the cable growth, and we started to see these new companies emerging through their success in cable. Then we saw the conversations of the broadcasting and the cable companies and the newspaper printers and the radio companies all starting to become joining forces to gain power and market share and revenue and everything else. And how many real, I mean, and then now with the internet and the breakdown in the way people consume media over social media and streaming platforms and everything else, there are how many companies are there that are real movers and real leaders right now when you look at the media landscape?
There are a few that are doing, you know, good despite all the challenges. You have in D.C., you have Politico and Vox. You also have on the West Coast, in certain cities like Seattle, you have GeekWire, which covers the tech industry up there. And down here, we have a bunch of nonprofit newsrooms that do some good work, like the Illuminator. And there's still 500 or so independent newspaper companies out there that are really multimedia companies with often podcast and vodcast and live coverage of things like high school sports that no one else covers, with the exception perhaps of good local radio like you guys. But in general, you know, there's a moment, I think, where Americans have to decide if they want to support having good local media infrastructure. So we're really at a tipping point, I think, at this moment in time.
Yeah, and if we look at the Skydance-Paramount merger, I mean, we're talking also about other major companies. What companies fall under the Skydance-Paramount umbrella now?
A lot of companies that make movies. So often you'll see studios that are owned by these folks. And so I'm pretty sure that they own A24, the horror film franchise. I could be wrong, but there's also a Faith Films franchise that they own. And so everything from, you know, feel good family movies to scary movies, you know, these are going to be owned by the same media corporation, basically. And it's already happened with kids programming. I have two kids, but Disney owns a lot of things, obviously, and they're still really a massive force to reckon with. But generally, you're going to see a bunch of brands owned by the same parent company.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the CBS network is still owned, is a Paramount, now
That's
Skydance
right.
company, CBS Television, CBS Radio, CBS News, and Nickelodeon, MTV. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And it is kind of wild, the diversity of holdings that a lot of these companies have. And then you look at NBC Universal, and they're very similar in how they own many, many media outlets, both streaming, broadcast, radio, television, and so on. Do we get to a point where it gets down to like three major players that own everything?
Maybe. There is still inertia and gravitational force that tends to tear these companies apart after a while. You look back at the AOL Time Warner merger back in the early 2000s, that eventually exploded because it was just too big. So, I mean, there is a limit still what you can do as a company and make money. And then the markets do seem to respond well to competition. After a while, if you don't have any competition, you get lazy. And I think other companies and technologies can disrupt you and you can lose out on your market share. And then you have, you know, eventually more diversity in ownership and options. That's what we saw with streaming services. They're kind of becoming like cable companies now. My students complain about how they have to basically switch around all their platforms to save some money. It used to be a really cheap option in place of cable, but now they're kind of the big cable of our time. So I can see more disruption and more change in the future that's hard to predict. So it's a Wild West out there right now, though. That's definitely the metaphor I use with my students is, early Wild West days, like there's not even a sheriff in town at the moment.
Yeah, and it seems
some volunteers.
Anytime there's something new that starts getting successful, starts growing market share, starts drawing an audience, starts making money, that one of these big companies immediately makes it an offer it cannot refuse to buy it and bring it under its umbrella.
That's right. You'll see, like, this is not the best example, but when Microsoft bought Skype, they thought they had lock down the future of video conference calls, and then we have a pandemic and you have Zoom, which makes lots of money. And so I think even the smartest companies will buy these other smaller companies, and think that they've locked down the future, but suddenly they're shellacked by some other new phenomenon. So it's really interesting to see what happens in a free market.
Yeah, and sometimes they buy them because they want their revenue, and sometimes they buy them because they don't want their competition. You know, when you see Facebook buying Instagram, it's like, well, you know, we don't want to face Instagram as a competitor, so we'll just make them ours, and then we'll have
both. For now, anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, social media has definitely shown that no one platform lasts all that long. That there's, as soon as your parents start using it, you find something new, and the kids will determine what the new social media platforms are going to be.
That's right. Or they'll be off it entirely, like a bunch of my students, which is sort of funny that now they're just off it. Or they lock it down so only their like best buddies can see it. Sort of like having your MySpace top 8, which I also tease them about. That's still around today. And some of them are back on MySpace, which is super nostalgic for me, but really retro cool for them. So it's hilarious.
You're seeing college students today that are anti-social media?
Oh, yeah. Off all the platforms. They do keep Facebook so their parents can check on them because they're paying for the tuition sometimes. Or they'll keep in touch with people. So they do have them, but they just don't use them very much. So kind of like static, I guess, social media presence.
Yeah, and I think it's also in some cases so that when their parents and their aunts and their whoever asks them what's going on in your life, well, just check my Facebook and you'll see what's going
That's
on
right.
with me.
Here's my newsletter.
But they don't put anything terribly important on there that they don't want their parents and others to know. Professor,
right.
anything else as we watch more of this consolidation with massive companies joining forces and trying to control the distribution of media in the United States and around the world that we should talk about?
Oh, I just would urge your listeners to support and subscribe and invest in good media that they like and that is independent and local, ideally, or at least regional. And that way, you know, they still have some flex as consumers if they want to use that muscle and support things that are good, like local radio and local TV and local news.
All right. Well, we sure appreciate that plug. And thank you for joining us here on WWL. Go take care of those kids.
I will. Thanks, Dave.
All right.
Good week.
Thank you. Professor William Murray here on WWL. All right. We're going to have a few minutes before we get Newell Norman in here. I'm going to read some more of your text coming up next. Some people have really interesting thoughts about women having fewer children than ever. You can sound off on what we were just talking about. Do you fear that corporate, massive, multi-billion-dollar worldwide corporations are controlling too much of the media message and own too much? Or is it better for us as consumers if we have these big companies producing media? I'll tell you this. I know the one thing that does not last is low prices of anything. Anything that is successful at a low price seems like it's eaten up by one of these big companies, and then the rates go up and up and up. We're back to talk about that, the birth rate in America, anything else you want to talk about for a few minutes before we have to make way for Newell Norman on WWL.